الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والذين جاهدوا فينا لنهدينهم سبلنا سبحان ربك رب العزة أما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. If you look at our society, you see that consumerism is really what dominates the day. So much of our lives are based on what we want to purchase, what we hope to purchase, what we hope to obtain. And you can see that that's pretty much what drives the society in so many different ways. For example, recently a set of days passed which is called the holiday season. And in the holiday season, the whole holiday season actually centers around, although it's established, quote unquote, as a religious holiday, it's actually centered around purchasing and giving gifts and buying and going to the store. And in fact, that's what becomes the holiday. The holiday becomes centered around going to the mall. Have you bought your gifts yet? No, I haven't bought my gifts yet. And everybody begins to worry, and stores begin to reduce their prices because they know that in honor of this religious holiday, people aren't going to go to church. People are going to go to the store. And so they go to the store and they purchase various things and then they hand them out as gifts. And one of the essential premises there, or at least one of the essential things that you find in those days, is that things that stores put goods on sale. So they know that if they can give a decent price on their goods, that people will purchase them. So during this time, you find many people will go to the stores because of the deals. They say, well, these are the days, right? This is the day after Christmas. This is the day after New Year. Each of these different days has special deals associated with it, and people, they go there because they know that on these special days, you get a discount. So for us, that's for this society, and in fact, every society has its days, and for us, days are important as well. But our days are based on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's varying mercies on particular days. So, for example, we are also very much aware of time and day, and we pay particular attention to it. For example, on the 10th of Muharram, we have a special importance that we attach to that day, namely that Musa alayhi salam was saved from the Fir'aun. And so therefore we have a special act of ibadah which goes with that day, which is fasting on that day, which is the Prophet ﷺ's sunnah from when he first came to Medina. So anyway, there are another set of days which are very, very special, and they're basically right upon us. They're very, very, very shortly will begin. And so I wanted to discuss some of the important aspects of the days that are about to come. And that is in particular the month of Dhul-Hijjah, the month in which the Hajj occurs. And within that month, the first 10 days. Now, those 10 days, the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah are very, very special. And of course, we don't determine that they're special, but the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he told us that they're special. In fact, in one hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam once said to his companions that there is no day in which acts are more beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than these 10 days. There is no set of days in which acts are more beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than these 10 days. And so the Sahaba, they were very shocked because they had heard the Prophet ﷺ speak so highly of so many different deeds. And so in return, the Sahaba asked, even jihad? Even if a person were to do jihad outside of those 10 days, wouldn't that be more valuable than what occurs in these 10 days? And the Prophet ﷺ said, not even jihad, except if an individual left his family and his wealth and then actually never returned, meaning he was martyred. So in this particular hadith, which comes in the book of Imam Bukhari and in the book of Imam Tabarani, the principle that the Prophet ﷺ is highlighting for his ummah, the Sahaba in particular, and all of us in general, is that these 10 days are very special. It's in these 10 days that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts deeds and rewards them in a very, very special way. And for a group of people who have nowhere to turn except Allah, it behooves them to take advantage of these because these are the days of Allah. Now in another hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, and Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu narrates this, the Prophet ﷺ said that there are no days in which deeds are so weighty and so loved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. So again, highlighting for us the greatness of these days. But in this particular hadith, the Prophet ﷺ took it one step further. And so then in this hadith, which is actually narrated in the book of Imam Tabarani, the Prophet ﷺ said, so increase your tasbihat, your la ilaha illallah, your Allahu Akbar, your subhanallah, increase these tasbihat. So now the Prophet ﷺ not only tells us the value of the days, but then he increases it one step further and tells us these are the things that you should do in these days. This is one particular act that's encouraged during these days. So for us, that's very essential. Because it tells us, one, how special these days are, and two, how we can maximize on these days. So one particular thing to keep in mind, especially when these 10 days arise, is that you should make sure that after every fard prayer, you read your tasbihat. That's how you can inculcate this hadith. Now, it's important for two reasons. One, because you get tremendous reward associated with doing these tasbihat in these particular days. Okay? Number one, because you now have heard the hadith. And then number two is that if you inculcate these tasbihat in your daily routine during these 10 days, the hope is that because of the barakah of this consistency of doing it over these 10 days, inshallah, it'll remain in your life for the other 355 days of the solar calendar. So it's very important that you take advantage of this. When the Prophet ﷺ makes these types of advices, there's a very special hikmah in that advice. Now, the first advice is you're being reminded of the value of these 10 days, and the second piece of advice is you're being reminded of the deed, one particular deed, and it's unique. I mean, you go through all of hadith, how many good deeds are there? Feeding people, giving charity, saying salam. There's so many good deeds that the Prophet ﷺ established throughout his hadith, yet in this particular instance, and in this context, the Prophet ﷺ established reading the tasbihat. So increase your la ilaha illallah, increase your subhanallah, increase your alhamdulillah, etc. In another hadith, the Prophet ﷺ established a second deed, which is extremely beneficial during these set of days, and that is fasting. Second deed that's extremely beneficial during these 10 days is fasting. And the Prophet ﷺ said in a hadith in the book of Imam Tirmidhi, and listen to the power of the fast of the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah, the Prophet ﷺ said that a fast in this particular set of 10 days is equivalent to the fast of 1 year. 1 year. So you can imagine, subhanAllah, how powerful that fast must be. Furthermore, the Prophet ﷺ then took it one step further. And in the same hadith, he narrated that praying a night, the nights of these first 10 days of the Hijjah, praying any of these nights is equivalent in value to praying the night of Laylatul Qadr. So again, it shows you the value of these 10 days. These are days that are very beloved to Allah. And a very, very special mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descends upon His creation. And so much so that people who go for the Hajj, they come back forgiven, right? They come back if they perform the Hajj with sincerity, with proper wealth, etc., fulfilling the rites of the Hajj. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala returns them as completely clean new individuals. So again, that's all from the barakah of these 10 days. And it's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy. Now, those are the 10 days. And the Prophet ﷺ established deeds to be done in those 10 days. One, the general principle that as much good as you can do should be done in those 10 days. So meaning you should be conscious of those days. You should sit and think, I've started these 10 days. I have only 10 days. I need to maximize these 10 days. And then plan out your life accordingly so that you can take advantage of the power that exists in these 10 days. The simplest way is to recite tasbihat after salah. And the best way is to sit down and think of as many good deeds as you can, including fasting, and to inculcate them in these 10 days. Now, within these 10 days, the Prophet ﷺ established a certain falila for one of those days. And that's the day of Arafah. The day of Arafah, which is the 9th day in these 10 days. The Prophet ﷺ established a very special fadila, a very special benefit for that particular day. And that is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us that the fast on that particular day, the fast on the 9th of Dhul-Hijjah, the day of Arafah, that it expiates 1 year's of previous sin and 1 year's future sin. So you can imagine how broad the power of that fast is. And that's narrated in the book of Imam Tirmidhi. So in that hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, actually he doesn't say that this occurs in that hadith. He actually says, I hope. So the Prophet ﷺ expresses his hope based on the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says that fasting on this particular day, he hope will bring the expiation of 1 year's past, a whole year of past sins and a whole year of future sins. So it's a very, very powerful day. And that's why, according to the ulama, it's mustahab. It's desirable. Something that's pleasurable to Allah and something that's pleasurable to the Messenger of Allah, that we fast on that 9th day. Now, of course, that day is very special because that's also the day in which the people are in Arafah, the people who have gone on Hajj, and the extreme mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showers upon that particular place at that particular time on those particular people. And so basically we're just catching just a little bit of the drifts of that mercy. But it's a very, very powerful day. So we should take advantage of it. Now that's the concept of what occurs in those 10 days. There's another deed that is mandatory on most of us in those 10 days. Now it doesn't necessarily become mandatory on those 10 days. It becomes mandatory on the day of Eid, and that mandate perpetuates for 2 days afterwards. But basically, it requires planning during the first 10 days, and that is the sacrifice of an animal. So it's mandatory upon every adult, male or female Muslim, as an individual who possesses 635 or 613, I always forget the number, somewhere around 635 grams of silver. Right, so they have enough, meaning surplus beyond their daily needs. If they have that much excess wealth, it becomes mandatory on that individual to sacrifice an animal in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that is something that each of us should keep in mind. If you're here, if you go for the Hajj, the ruling is different. So for every male and female adult individual who has more than 635, the value of 635 grams of silver in any kind of saving, for each individual, it's mandatory that they sacrifice an animal. Now that animal has certain requirements, and it's stated in the hadith, and we're not going to go into detail, but there are requirements for the age of the animal, the deficiencies that are permissible in an animal that is deficient in some way, etc. But each of us should begin to plan this now. So the ideal for this fast or for this sacrifice is that you actually do it with your own hand. And there's tremendous benefit in doing so because as the blood flows out from that animal, it's stated that the sins, they flow out from that individual. So you can imagine the amount of blood that gushes forth from an animal. It actually carries the sins of a person with that blood. And you can actually feel it. If you actually go and sacrifice, you'll literally feel that. If you understand this hadith and you reflect on this hadith as you're doing the sacrifice, you can actually feel it purifying you. It's that powerful of an act. So, ideally you want to do it with your own hands. If you can't do it with your own hands, then you'd like to at least observe it being done for you. So for example, if you have a butcher that's arranged to do it, you go and you set a time, you show up there, and you watch the butcher sacrifice, and you watch the blood come out from that animal. And if you can't do that, then the third option is to have someone do it on your behalf in some place within those 3 days of Eid and the 2 days after. So that would be done by you donating your money on, for example, these websites or the different people that collect money for different places throughout the world. And you can do that for the poor people anywhere in the world. You can have it done here, you can have it done abroad. It's up to you, but you have to do it. You have to do one animal for each adult. Now, there are some people upon whom it's not mandatory to do the sacrifice for, but you can actually do it if you choose. For example, if you have children, you can do it on behalf of them. If you have a mother or a father that's passed away, you can do it on behalf of them. If you know that there are poor people in the community and you'd like to do it on behalf of them, that's permissible as well. In fact, listen to the mercy of the Prophet ﷺ. When it came to his sacrifice, on one occasion it comes in hadith of the Prophet ﷺ sacrificed two animals. One he sacrificed on his own behalf, and the other he sacrificed on behalf of all the poor of the ummah. And so that's why some people say it's actually a very powerful act spiritually to recognize that the Prophet ﷺ sacrificed for all the poor of his ummah, and then to go and in turn sacrifice for one animal on his behalf in return. So some people, they do that as well. Now my teachers, they used to do that. They used to sacrifice for their teachers. They used to sacrifice one for this, for the sake of the Prophet, in the name of the Prophet, meaning in the name of Allah, but for the act that the Prophet established through that sunnah. But anyway, you definitely have to do one for yourself. And that's something that we often miss, and it's a very important act because it's actually mandatory. It's part of our responsibility on that day. So make sure that you start to make arrangements. And those arrangements can occur by going to websites. We've announced several times Brother Mansoor has been collecting money for the poor people in Pakistan to do it there and have the meat go to them. If you do sacrifice here, meaning you do it with your own hand or you have it arranged to be done here, then you'll actually receive the meat from the butcher. When you receive the meat from the butcher, it's sunnah. It's not mandatory. It's sunnah to take a third of that meat for yourself, a third for the relatives, and a third for the poor. So you can divide up the meat in the one third, one third, one third, and then divide it in that way. But that's not mandatory, that's just a sunnah. So in turn, you can actually give it all to the poor, you can give it all to your relatives, you can keep it all for yourself. Alright? So you have options as to how to use that meat. The only thing you can't do is you can't sell it. That's the only thing you cannot do. You cannot sell it. So that's the real important act that you need to begin to plan for in that first 10 days. Now, it's not going to occur until the day of Eid. It's not permissible to make the sacrifice until the Eid prayer has been prayed. It's not permissible to make the sacrifice until the Eid prayer has been prayed. So you're not going to necessarily do this in those first 10 days, but it's something that you need to plan for because it takes a little bit of effort to arrange it. And you can go even on Divan, there's many signs up now on all the butcher stores saying that they're organizing this, and if you need to do it, you can contact them. So again, basically the gist is to remember that these 10 days are very, very special, and they're coming up very soon. So begin to think about how you're going to take advantage of them. One, increase your good deeds. Come to the masjid if you haven't been able to come to the masjid. Increase the number of prayers that you pray in the masjid. If you currently pray two, make it three. If you pray three, try to make it four. Increase the amount of time that you sit in the masjid. If you're kind of in a rush and you just quickly pray the sunnah and leave, then maybe increase it by doing the tasbihat slowly and carefully and reflecting on what they actually mean. Give some sadaqah in this particular month. Rectify the loose ends that you've left with relations with other people or maybe things that you haven't rectified yet. And then begin to make intention to increase your deeds, especially in these 10 days. And the hope is that these 10 days, by increasing our deeds in these 10 days, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us the tawfiq to increase our deeds outside of these 10 days. That would be the truest success. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to maximize these 10 days, to be among those who fast during some of these 10 days, and to make sure that we prepare the sacrifice for the 10th, 11th, and 12th day. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.